Okay, I can actually. Dr. Ibrahim Al-Mujel, the Chief Executive Officer of the Saudi Industrial Development Fund. Welcome to this virtual interview with myself, Sandra Péloquin, the Secretary General of the Montreal Group, a not-for-profit association located in the city of Montreal in Canada. The Montreal Group is an international forum of state-supported banks that are there to support the growth of small and medium enterprises in their respective countries. And as people can deduct, SIDF is a member of the Montreal Group. This talk is a part of a podcast series of interviews I'm conducting with each board member of the association in the course of 2020. Ibrahim, you serve as the CEO of SIDF. In this role, you lead the transformation of SIDF to be the key financial enabler of the kingdom's industrialization of the path to Vision 2030. And we will get back to the Vision 2030 in the interview. You were named a young global leader by the World Economic Forum, joining the class of 2019. Congratulations. You sit on several boards and committees, including the Samba Financial Group, Arab Mining Company, and the National Industrial Development and Logistics Program Committee, just to name a few. You also co-chair the board of the Long-Term Investment Club, and last but not least, you sit on the board of directors of the Montreal Group, the motive for our interview today. About yourself and where you're coming from and how at a young age, may I add, you have had the opportunity to be appointed the CEO of SIDF. So the studies, you have had quite an international education, holding a bachelor degree in electrical engineering and mathematics from Vanderbilt University in Tennessee, USA. And not one, but two master degrees, electrical engineering and management science and engineering, as well as a doctorate in decision analysis from Stanford University, this prestigious private research university based at the heart of the Silicon Valley in California. Could you tell us more about this international educational journey of yours?
First of all, it's a privilege to be with you. I appreciate your generous welcome and overview, Sandra. I was privileged to be chosen by Aramco to be sent to continue my education, and I had the privilege of going to Vanderbilt University. I didn't know much about Tennessee. I visited the U.S. as a child, but nothing in the middle of the U.S. It was a great university with a great experience that enabled me to see things differently, specifically on the role of economic development and being a change agent, regardless of who you are or where you come from. After finishing my degree, I went back to Aramco and worked shortly, and then with admission to Stanford University, Aramco was kind enough to sponsor my education again at Stanford University. I initially had in my mind continuing with electrical engineering. Then I met my professor, Ron Howard, who found the field of decision analysis in the 70s and 60s, and I changed major to learn from him. I learned how to think more so than anything else from Professor Howard, which is something that is guiding a lot of my decisions till today.
Thank you, Ibrahim. So we mentioned you're now the CEO of SIDF, and you also mentioned you mentioned working for Aramco. You were the head of investment management at the Saudi Aramco, which manages Saudi Aramco's pension, from my understanding. And you have also authored many works on decision-making, negotiations, long-term economic and energy challenges facing the kingdom, and energy policy. You've talked a little bit about it just now, but could you add a little more on how you see the previous education in the United States and the career expertise supporting your role today as the CEO of the Saudi Industrial Development Fund?
So I'll cover that in 3 points. The education in the U.S., my first type of job within Aramco, which cornered around strategy, then my investment career within Aramco. On education, Stanford really gives you the view that you can change anything and that it's a culture in Silicon Valley that amplifies your idea. So if you come up with an idea, people tend to add to it, build upon it, open doors, even if it's not clear to them productive culture, that amplification culture, is still with me here today. And it tells me, it guides how I think about engaging the sectors and also engaging the institution itself. And when I go to Aramco, in the beginning, I worked with strategy, and I was privileged to work on the energy strategy of the kingdom within Aramco and the Aramco strategy itself. And given the scale of Aramco, thinking about Aramco strategy means thinking about the economic development in the kingdom, seeing the implication on the livelihood of everyone around the country and globally. My role was focused on local development. So I had a real understanding of how decisions at a company level can impact the economic development of the country, but also how feedback and secondary and tertiary economic impact can come from decisions we make, which helped guide my decisions today. Third, my investment role in Aramco. I worked in venture arm and direct arm before leading the investment management arm. SIDF, while it's a development bank and we give loans, but most of our projects are greenfield projects, which means we are closer to a private equity direct lending than your typical bank. So my investment experience, specifically in direct investment, really helped me understand how to assess projects here and how to look at them from an investor perspective, not only from an economic development perspective, which helped me take the view of the investor more so than you would think from a government leader.
That makes total sense. Thank you very much for the connection. The 2030 vision recognizes SIDF as the primary financial enabler for the industrial transformation of Saudi Arabia. This is quite an important goal. First of all, Ibrahim, can you tell us more about Vision 2030 and perhaps the kingdom's expectations toward SIDF?
So Vision 2030 is the thing that guides all of us in the country. And it's enabling a lot of change, energy, and excitement that I haven't seen and never thought possible in the country. So I never expected that government in Riyadh would remind me of the energy in Silicon Valley. But it does. To focus it on the area, it has 13 programs, multiple areas, covers from social transformation, which we've seen specifically in women empowerment and development, to opening new sectors like tourism and sport, to improving education and human capital development. But the one I want to focus on is the National Industrial Development and Logistics Program, which is the largest program from economic perspective within the vision. That program aims to transform the kingdom into an industrial powerhouse and a global logistical hub. It envisions achieving that by bringing manufacturing, mining, energy, and logistics together in a cohesive strategy that was never done before. It leverages our location as a kingdom. It leverages our resources and our financial capital and infrastructure. And that program is a very detailed and very ambitious program. It covers the four sectors. And SIDF was identified as the financial enabler for that program. And so if I want to explain what SIDF is, we finance the transformation of the kingdom. How do we achieve that? How do we support that transformation? We had to change. Even though we had a great history, we were built correctly with the right DNA and right systems and processes from the 70s, we're 46 years old now. We had to change to be aligned with the vision, which meant we changed in three ways. First, on who we serve, who are we here for? SIDF began as mostly SMEs in manufacturing. We expanded to cover mining, energy, and logistics, and companies across the size scale. Second, on what we offer. Traditionally, we only offered senior secured project finance. To support the transformation as we envision it, we needed to provide financial support across the capital structure. So we launched working capital, which proved very helpful in COVID. We launched acquisition financing, term loans, and advisory services that we launched over the last 2 years. Third, to achieve those two, we have to change who we are and how we do business. So we changed the mandate of SIDF, we increased the capital. Pre-vision, it was $11 billion, and now the approved capital is $28 billion of loans. We changed the human capital, so we brought in expertise globally and from the kingdom. We incorporated women. We invested heavily in development. So what we spent in 2019 was triple what we spent in 2017 on training and development. We launched programs in partnership with Stanford, with LBS, and with HSBC, with Roland Berger, that offer academic training, but also on-the-job training for our staff members. So we require to change who we serve, what we offer, and who we are to achieve the goal, or at least to hope to achieve the goal that's given to us.
Very humble, but that's not easy to do. Yeah, a full plate for sure. So you've covered actually a lot of the sub questions that I had, which is good. And perhaps we can actually do a segue to one of the aspects that you mentioned recently in a virtual gathering of the Montreal Group activities, which was a get together of subject matter experts in the different development banks around the support to women entrepreneurs. So we had different people from the different members attending. And from SIDF, we had, and excuse me for the pronunciation, but we had Haifa Al-Humaid, hopefully that's good enough. She mentioned that during your mandate, you've increased women participation in the SIDF workforce from 0 to 16%, or nearly 0% to 16%. What drove you to implement this gender agenda within SIDF?
So I have to give credit to my predecessor, who in 2017 began the hiring of women at SIDF. We had, I think, 6 or 7 in 2017, which was late even compared to government standards in Saudi Arabia. They began hiring aggressively in 2015 and before. So my predecessor really helped improve and unlock that gate. For me, it was mostly driven by interest. I've seen the quality of my female colleagues in Aramco, of course, within family and friends and areas I work, but directly with my colleagues in Aramco. So thinking that we are letting all that talent go to waste and not benefiting from it at SIDF didn't make much sense. But we also appreciated that there is a big shift in the culture from having the few women that were hired were put in a place for them. So there was not interaction with much and not incorporating in the place itself, which would not enable them to deliver what they need to deliver. So from day one, we hired people across the organization. So Haifa was the first female division manager. We had the first team leader, Noor Al-Babtain, first director, Latifa Al-Ghadami, and first vice president who oversaw the transformation process. She is the vice president of strategy and business development. And we were keen to hire them in the beginning, in the first few months. So when you recruit, it's not that women are for a certain type of job or entry positions. They are already from day one, from the first month, are a fact across the organization. So that really helped us change the culture and create acceptance within the organization. By merit, almost 40 or 45% of all our new hires since I took over on January 1st have been women.
Wow. I mean, I have to drop a personal note here. This is music to my ears. This is great knowing where the kingdom is coming from. This is fantastic. This is covering the areas of women working at SIDF. Could you add in terms of, I mean, it's probably on the longer run, but in terms of women in Saudi Arabia being interested in starting businesses or being part of the entrepreneurship tissue in Saudi Arabia? Anything to add on this front?
So we've been lucky because change has been happening for a while. So since several years ago with the investment in education, we've been lucky in the kingdom that we have more women in post-secondary education than men. So the talent pool is rather large. And we've seen that in a lot of entrepreneurship initiatives from the beginning, for the last decade or so. Lately, at least our glass ceiling was shattered within the kingdom. And we've seen exemplary leaders, women leaders across the country and the private and public sector. Many were there before, but were never given the platform or celebrated as such. For us in industrial sector, we have some investors. Their main challenge was that they had no counterpart within SIDF. So having women in SIDF made it easier. Also, we wanted to do introduction programs to introduce women, businesswomen and women entrepreneurs about the industrial and logistics sectors. We've been doing some and we'll announce a bit more next week, I think. The challenges they face, however, were very similar to the challenges men face, So we added them to the transformation agenda without saying this is a woman agenda or a man agenda, just a change agenda.
Excellent. Yeah. Entrepreneurship agenda. All facing the same challenges. Anything to add in terms of how you would describe the Saudi entrepreneurs in respect to what they expect from SIDF in this context of the crisis, like their needs being shifted? You've mentioned that SIDF is more engaged with advisory services. Is this something that you feel the entrepreneurs in the kingdom are in need of in the crisis era?
I think they are in need of advisory services across. We have a deep expertise in technical and market analysis within SIDF. So we have a large group of engineers and market specialists who study the market dynamics and study the development, the technical developments. So that is needed with and without the crisis. With the crisis, however, what was needed is money. So we tried to go ahead of the crisis. So by May, we restructured all of our SMEs without them asking. So no payment was due in 2020. We told them, we've restructured, no penalty on you. We've restructured your debt. We didn't roll it over to January 2021. Rather, we restructured it over the remainders of the their tenor automatically. Because we figured they are too busy and too tired to worry about SIDF or finishing the application. We then also created for the first time a pre-approved credit line for our any good performance pre-COVID. So you might be struggling now, but if you are a good performer in 2019 or 2018, we pre-approved the credit line for you. You have up to X. You can call upon it anytime you want. And we created for medical supplies and pharmaceuticals, aligned to help them buy raw material. We wanted those companies to have enough raw material, not to worry about potential bidding wars or logistical challenges in bringing them to the country. As you know, this is March and April, as countries began figuring out what they're doing. The total of that was $1.2 billion between the restructuring, the credit limits, and the raw material purchasing. And for the working capital component itself was around $300 or $280 million that was approved within the first few months. Now, given what we are seeing, we are thinking about extending that in 2021. Honestly, we're hoping that it will be done by now. It seems it will stay with us a bit long.
Absolutely. Well, this is a worldwide challenge, right? So if there's something fair, if we can phrase it this way, is we're all in the same boat. To some extent, right? We're close to the end of our interview, Ibrahim. I have a quick question in regards to SIDF's involvement with the Montreal Group. How do you envision development banks to continue working together in the future? And do you see any opportunities here in the context, let's say, of the COVID for how they can help one another to be a little more impactful and do things differently in support of entrepreneurs?
I think what Montreal Group did a few months ago at the start of this was very exemplary. At this time, especially that this is an international global crisis, we're all trying to figure out how to deal with it. What does it mean? What are the challenges that companies face? So quickly sharing experiences and ideas and measures that we've done, having that platform to quickly share, even just being a sounding board, saying, I'm thinking of X, what does it, what do you think about that? Prove very useful. In the day-to-day business, you know, you go through the process, you have your time, you have your research, your consultants, and what have you. But when the crisis hit, we didn't have that luxury. And depending on a group like Montreal was very useful.
Excellent. Good to hear. And of course, with the last interview I had with the chair of the Montreal Group, Pascal Lagarde from BPI France, he commented the same thing, just being able to pick up the phone and call one of the board members or just the secretariat to say, listen, we'd like to share this idea that we have. We're not looking for the specific answers, but just to hear other opinions could be very useful at this very unique time that we're facing. Ibrahim, what would you say to leaders like yourselves that are leading SME development banks? Any recommendation for the near future and how they should continue or do things differently in leading their development banks?
I think you're two most important stakeholders are your people and your clients. We exist to enable those clients, and this is the time to show how we do so. And we can only enable them through our people. And this is the time to also invest in your own people and their development. So I encourage you to invest in your people and focus on the enablement of your clients.
Excellent. And the very last words, any messages for Kingdom's entrepreneurs?
Keep it up. You are impressive.
Excellent. Shukran. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure, Ibrahim. Dr. Ibrahim Al-Mujel, thank you so much. And we all hope that we get to travel to Saudi Arabia in the very near future, as we are supposed and we were supposed to meet last March, as you know, in Riyadh. It's been postponed for when, we are not sure yet, but we all trust that it will be at some time, hopefully in the 2021 calendar. Thank you so much again. Hopefully. Shukran.
Thank you.
Hope to see you in person very soon.
Thank you.